Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ in Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
Great to be able to worship God together, isn't it? Now, last night, I want to tell you, we had the youth over for the singing, and wow, I could not believe we had a packed house. We had somewhere around 30 at our house last night, and I listened to their singing and their conduct. I don't know if we have any young people anywhere in the world better than our young people here, and we love you and we appreciate you so very much. Please take your Bibles today and turn to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. A lady walked into a large department store, and when she did, cameras flashed, and a small band began to play some music. An executive from the department store came over to her and pinned the most beautiful corsage on her dress. And he said, "Congratulations, ma'am. You are the 1,000,000th customer to come into our store." There was a news reporter standing next to the lady, and the news reporter asked her, she said, "What did you come into the store for today? What brought you in?" She says, "Well, I was going to the complaint department." Wouldn't you know it? As the curtain opens today on our chapter in the book of Numbers, guess what? The complaint department is still open. But what is so unique about the complaint and criticism that we see today is that it comes from Moses' own brother and sister. You see, in the Christian life, there are many, many good times, and there are also some difficult times. And the difficult times sometimes can come from very surprising places, sometimes from the people that we love. A spouse tells you that they no longer love you and they want a divorce. A close sibling of yours, a brother or sister, turns on you because of money. A child looks at you and says, "I don't ever want to talk to you again." A long-time and valued customer begins to tell people out in the community that you cheated them. A friend or perhaps a boyfriend or girlfriend turns on you and turns against you and begins to tell other people some very personal things about you. You see that all these situations that I just mentioned have something in common. The wound that was inflicted was by those that we love and we care about. And the more deeply we love that person, the more the hurt is. I mean, the more of yourself you invest in that person, when they turn on you, it hurts so greatly. And as we look into the Bible today in Numbers chapter 12, we're going to see this account, a time when Moses himself was attacked. Of course, criticism is nothing new for Moses. You remember that when he first confronted Pharaoh, that the Hebrew people, his brethren, said, "You know what, you're going to do more harm than good." I'm sure that had to hurt. When they were out in the wilderness, they accused Moses of trying to kill them. That had to hurt too. But here in this chapter, we have a brother and sister of Moses criticizing him openly before other people, challenging his leadership. And I want to tell you this morning that that had to hurt. That kind of criticism hurt more than all the other criticism combined, because it came from within. The trouble was from within, from his own family. Those words had to devastate Moses. So the 12th chapter begins with these words. "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman, the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married a Ethiopian woman. So they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?' Now, I want you to look at those words there in verse 12 because they're very significant. The Bible says that they began to speak, or they spoke against Moses because he married this Cushite, this Ethiopian woman. And the words spoke against or to speak against indicate that this was done, that it was very public, their criticism of Moses. And it's very likely that Zipporah died and that Moses, in his loneliness, sought a new wife. It is also likely that he and God talked so often that he talked this over with God. It's also reasonable the fact that this woman, this Cushite, this Ethiopian, was in the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. For where else would Moses find her? Yes, God did forbid the marriage of the Israelites to anyone in the land of Canaan. But he did not forbid totally them marrying those outside of Israel altogether. I mean, the fact that Zipporah, where was she from? She was from the land of Midian. But you know what? This whole concern about this woman, this Cushite, this Ethiopian, you know what it is? It's just a smokescreen. It's just a diversion. Oh, that wasn't the real concern. Come on. But you see that the real concern comes later. Because what it says is, has God only spoken through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us? So what it was is that they wanted what? More prestige. They wanted equal status that Moses had. And I want you to notice what Alan read just a little bit ago. God says, Moses, you know, you've got so much on you. I want you to choose 70 men. I'm going to take my spirit, the spirit that is upon you. I'm going to put it upon these men. He chose 70. Guess who was not included in the 70? Moses wasn't. Aaron wasn't included. Miriam wasn't included. So they're feeling envious. They're feeling threatened. They're feeling left out by God. And so what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to tear down Moses in order to gain a little power and position for themselves. Something that still happens today. And so it seems as though the problem here is a problem of envy. Oh my, isn't envy ugly? It's so ugly because what happens is it makes us selfish. See, all of a sudden we become so protective of our little area, our ministry, and no one else come in now. This is mine. It's also ugly because it makes us very difficult to teach. For us to learn and to grow, we have to be pliable. We have to be moldable. We have to listen to the instruction of other people without feeling defensive or threatened. Isn't that right? But envy is also ugly because it makes us oversensitive. A person who's envious and insecure, I mean, they're going to feel so threatened by anything that encroaches upon their area. I don't know if you've watched any of the beginnings of the Olympics, but there is a legend from ancient Greece that during the ancient Olympic Games, there was this runner, and he was a terrific athlete. I mean, he was the favorite to win, and the race was going on, and he was in first, and then another guy was edging him out, and as they went across the finish line, he came in second. Well, as you can imagine, the man who won was shrouded in praise. Everybody was over there hugging him, and eventually they erected a statue in his honor. And man, I want to tell you, envy began to eat away at this man who placed second. He resented the man that won. He hated him. That's all he could ever think about when he woke up, when he went to bed, was that man who won and all the praise. And so He decided one day that he was going to destroy that statue. So night after night, he went to that statue under the cover of darkness, and he would chisel away at the base. You see, he was trying to weaken the foundation. And one night, he began to chisel so hard because he was so eaten up and out of anger, he chiseled so hard that he went too far. And that old statue begins to teeter, and it was so heavy because it was made of marble. And it fell on the disgruntled athlete. And it killed him. It killed him. The statue of the man that he'd grown to hate. And look, it was his own envy that had destroyed him. My friends, envy, if we're not careful, it can eat us alive. But it also can hurt the people around us. And no doubt when Moses heard these words by his own brother and sister, he had to be broken. He had to be a broken man. And so what I want to do this morning for the time we have remaining is look to the example of Moses, how you and I can respond when we are attacked by those people that we love, maybe in our family or church family. And so let's look and see, what is it that we need to learn? Well, here's a couple of things I want to share with you that Moses does not do. He does not do. First of all, he does not strike back. You know, what happens is when someone does something to us and they attack us, our first inclination is that we want to do what? We want to strike back. But I want to tell you, in these moments, the atmosphere is so emotionally charged, we can inflict damage and wounds that can never, ever be repaired. But you know what? As we look at the example of Moses, Do you look at the record? Can you see that he said anything back? I don't. Did he strike back? I can't see it. Moses doesn't do that. Moses does not feed the fire. You know, the truth is that many of us would never, ever, ever strike back openly. We'd be too embarrassed. Oh, but what we would do is we'd be a little more subtle like Miriam. Maybe we would start a rumor with some mutual friends or a family member. You know, when I worked in Missouri preaching, someone in the church would get awful mad because of a decision that was made or something that happened. And so they wanted to strike back and they wanted to hurt back. And so what they would do is they say, you know what? We're leaving. We're leaving. We're going somewhere else. Well, why? What's the problem? And then all of a sudden, there would be a smoke screen. There'd be a diversion. And sometimes later, it'd be a family member or a close friend would come and say, this is the real reason that they left. But see, they wouldn't tell us because it'd be embarrassing because it was so petty. It'd be unchristian. Or maybe, just maybe, we could strike back in this way. Maybe the person that attacked us and we're going to strike back and we don't want to do it directly, but every time their name is brought up in a conversation, we mention their flaws. Oh, yeah, and we mention their flaws. Or maybe we'd find a weakness in their life, and we would grind and grind and grind that weakness for everybody to see. You know, that's not the biblical response. You know, you are not going to come to some kind of a solution by being as petty as the person that might have attacked you. And so Moses shows us a great example. He says, look, I'm not going to strike back. But look at the second thing he doesn't do. He doesn't try to defend himself. He doesn't speak up for himself. Moses could have said, if you would have been Moses, you might have said, well, look at me. Now, hold on just a second. I am the leader. It's clear that I'm the leader. The reason that God speaks to me in such a way is because, well, I'm pretty great. I mean, matter of fact, who is it that went on Mount Sinai? Who is it that received the law? I think it was me. Remember? Moses could have done that, but you know what? He does not parade his accomplishments before them. He doesn't do that. He doesn't see a need to do that. And so He remained silent. And that reminds me of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was there before the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and even old Herod. He didn't say anything. As we read just a little bit ago in Isaiah 53:7, he opened not his mouth. As a sheep before his shears was silent, so he opened not his mouth. Why is that? Because Jesus knew that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and Herod, they were not on a mission to find truth. Truth was in front of them. They didn't care anything about the truth. They were on a mission to crucify and kill a man who was hitting at their power base. And so Jesus remained silent. There's no use to argue with a person like that. And so we too, we have to make such a distinction when we are attacked. Kind of like Moses. Sometimes the more we say, the worse things get. Have you ever been in a situation like that? The more you tried to fix things, the worse it got. And so if we are slandered like Moses, and we try to fix that thing and we try to explain our actions and a person won't listen, what we need to do is take Titus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 to heart. Where Paul writes, he says, look, warn a divisive man once and then warn him a second time. And then after that, don't have anything to do with him. For surely such a man is warped. He is sinful. He is self-condemned. So when you're in a situation like that, and we need to realize that, you know, at some point we need to stop and quit pushing. Moses does not try to defend himself. But I want you to notice what he does do. Look what he did. He allowed God to settle things. He allowed God to settle things. I think this is interesting because God, at this tent of meeting, he's going to take these three siblings. And he gathers them there. Now, I don't know exactly what was in the mind of Miriam and Aaron when they were there in that intimate meeting there with God. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they were thinking, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. God's going to put his spirit on us like he did the 70. Here it is. God's going to bestow us some promotion for us in the government of Israel. Maybe that's exactly what they thought. But I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but I know what happened. The Bible says that God called Aaron and Miriam to come forward. And then God spoke. Verse 6. Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, as he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant? Did you see what happened? Rather than God bestowing some special privilege on Aaron and Miriam, God affirms Moses' position and he rebukes the brother and sister. Moses did not have to defend himself because God did it for him. How great would it be? Don't you wish sometimes that God would call out your antagonist and he would vindicate you in their presence? Well, that's not likely to happen. But this is what God does instruct us to do. He says, look, you let me take care of it. Take your Bibles and let's go over to a familiar passage, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and let's look in verse 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. We'll read through verse 21. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in sight of all men. If possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to say that those are some of the toughest words in all of the Word of God. There it is. Let God handle it. And while you wait for him to vindicate you, you know what? He gives us some things to do. He says, look, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Resist the temptation to strike back. Don't do it. Think about it. Then he says, do what is right in the eyes of others. You see, you and I still at that point have the responsibility to act in Christian love and kindness. You know why? There's so many other people. There may be people who are Christians who know about this situation. There may be people who are not Christians who know about this situation. And they want to see how deep your faith really runs. And then what we are to do is we are to try to maintain the peace. Continue to strive for some kind of reconciliation in this whole problem and this issue. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's love for those things that make for peace. And then never seek revenge. Yeah, that really is God's job. And when we get in there and we try to do God's job, the truth is that you and I, we're just not qualified. Because God, he's the only one that can see all things clearly. He can see all the mitigating circumstances. He knows the real reason behind the criticism and the hostility that's been directed toward you. Only he knows. And then when someone responds and attacks you with evil, you are to respond with good. Isn't that great? Look at this. The second thing that he does is he offers prayers and supplications for those who hurt him. So here it is. We have this encounter. There is Moses and Aaron standing, or Mary and Aaron standing before the Lord. And what does God do? God strikes Miriam with leprosy. You see, to man, sin is appealing, but to God, it is appalling. God strikes her, and the leprosy was called the disease of the living dead because one's flesh and muscles and tissue would decay on their body. It would be deformed. And the Bible says that Aaron looked on Miriam and he saw her and he saw her face. You see, when Moses would come from being with God, there was this, his face, he had to veil it because there was this glow, this glory. Well, Miriam's going to have to veil her face because it's gruesome. Listen to me. Sin ruins and destroys our Christian countenance. I mean, Miriam, instead of she becoming the great leader of Israel, she's an outcast. She really is. I mean, she's put outside the camp. And so here's Aaron, the interceding high priest of all of Israel. And he's helpless to do anything because he can't intercede for himself. And so he turns to Moses. That reminds me that I, as a Christian, am so blessed and so fortunate to have one who will intercede on my behalf, and that's Jesus Christ. That we have a mediator. We have an advocate. And Hebrews 7 tells us that Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for us. I want to ask you a question. If you would have been in Moses' place and all of this just happened and unfolded, and there the sister that criticized you and tried to tear you down and take your leadership, and now she has leprosy, what would you have said to her? What would you have said? Well, it looks like you got what's coming to you. I mean, you got yourself in the mess. Why don't you get yourself out? No, that's not how Moses responded. In fact, Moses went right to prayer. The only words, the first words that we ever hear Moses say in this whole ordeal is prayer to God on Miriam's behalf. Isn't that great? He still loves his big sister. And he prays for her. And God says, yeah, I'll heal her. But she's got to go outside the camp for a week. You know, this little thing wasn't a small matter. She attacked my leader. That's a big matter. Got to be careful. And so when we are hurt in such a way, deeply by someone that we love, yeah, we are to take and cast that upon the Lord who cares for us. But before we walk away and we shrug our shoulders and we say, all right, I did it and I'm done with it. Let me pose these questions to you. Number one, is the criticism this direct, is it justified? I mean, maybe you're involved in some sin and a person is trying to practice, you know, Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2, and they come to restore you in a spirit of meekness. And you attack them. Why are you attacking me? Well, let's do a little self-examination. Is it justified? Are they trying to help me? Or do I misunderstand what's happening? Maybe they are coming out of love and concern, and I believe that they're coming out of malice. Am I reading more into what's being said and motives than I should? Or maybe there's a misunderstanding of you. Maybe you need to clarify, listen, your actions or what you said. You know, I understand that you think I was saying this way, but no, this is what I was really saying. Oh, that's happened to us quite a bit, hasn't it? And then is there some other issue involved? Sometimes it's more than what meets the eye. Maybe someone, a mate, has grown distant to you. And it's not because they want to hurt you. Maybe there's some physical changes going on in their body. And they're reacting to that. Maybe there is incredible stress at the job. Maybe that you went through something where you were doing some service. And you worked really hard. And then all of a sudden you receive this criticism from this person. You think, what? And maybe they just feel guilty because they feel like they didn't do their part. And so that's the way they respond. So really it isn't directed at you. Sometimes when we are hurt by people that we love, it's not meant to hurt us, but it's a cry for help. It's a cry for help. Maybe they're going through a lot of pain and maybe we really need to listen and ask ourselves, what is really going on? And let us remember the example of our Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, and verse 6 and 7 tells us that God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, that we were enemies, that Christ died for us. And in the end of the book of Ephesians chapter 4, what Paul says is, you know, that we need to forgive others as God in Christ Jesus forgave us. And so let's have the spirit of Moses when to respond in the correct manner so that we will be found faithful, that we will be peacemakers, and that there can be harmony and unity in all of our relationships for the best of our ability. I thank you for the way that you've listened this morning. If it is this morning that you've examined your life and maybe there is a problem with another Christian, you don't need to come up here today. You need to go to that person. Maybe you need to go over to their house today and sit down and say, let's work this out. This has been going on a while and a lot of misunderstandings and forgive me. Maybe it's today that relationship that's severed and damaged is between you and God. And God's never moved. He's still where he's always been. He's God. But we've let go of his hand and maybe we've gotten involved in some things in the world and we've left our first love. Will you come back to him today? If you're not a Christian, will you become a Christian to be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. Do that right now as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.